things, guys. Okay, I'm quite loud. That's okay. Just plug this in. Right. It's a privilege to be here this morning and to share the word. And such a beautiful day. Saying to the Lord this morning, if winter's going to be like that, I can handle it. I don't mind the cold as long as there's a bit of blue sky here now and then and a bit of sun. That's really a great blessing. Thanks for those testimonies that were shared. It was a great blessing. And it's really cool to see just God responding, and He's, you know, just faithful when we seek Him in prayer and trust in Him. So that's been a great blessing. Great when they come and visit. So yeah, the young ones, David, or David, as we call him, he's already 8 weeks. So growing up. He eats all day. We had them sitting on the couch next. Well, they don't really sit yet. They just kind of, you know, stay where you put them for a little while until they fall over. But we were like, had them on the sofa taking photos. So you can check them on Facebook. They're very cute. But yeah, what a blessing. And Sham Abigail is so affectionate. She loves to hug her little brother. And the other day, Adna was away, and I was handling the two. And, you know, when that happens, we only got two now, you know. There's obviously lots of families that are bigger. But she was away, and then kind of the wheels started coming off a bit. You know, the little one was screaming, and then the Abigail started screaming, and she wanted something as well, you know, and while I'm running around. And then I had to put down the little one for just 2 seconds. So I was looking around for a place to put him down. You shouldn't, I don't know if I should say this, but then I saw Abigail's little doll pram, little doll stroller there. I thought, okay, I'll just put it down and I'll put him in. It fits, if that, you know, it was exactly a good fit. So he sat there. Shame. But I hope I didn't give Abby any ideas now. I'm just picturing her putting him in there and taking him for a walk. But in any case, I have to keep an eye on her. In any case, let's pray as we get into the word this morning. And trust God for what He wants to do amongst us. Father, we thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You, Lord, that Your mercies are new every morning. And we just declare over this day and over the city and over our nation that this is the day that You have made. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it, God. And we thank You, Lord, for every purpose and every plan and every good work that You have for this day. And Lord, our desire, Lord, is to grab a hold of that for today and not miss one thing that You have for us for now, for today. And then not only for today, God, but for every day. So we commit this time to You, Lord. We consecrate this time to You, Father. We set it aside as holy and consecrated unto You for Your purpose, for Your glory. And in a spiritual sense, we, as we approach You, Lord, we take off our shoes when we recognize Your presence here. We recognize that this is holy ground. We recognize, Lord, that you are an awesome God, a fearful God, Lord, but still that we boldly draw near by the blood of Jesus, God. We thank You for this time, Lord, and we thank You for Your presence here in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know about you. I used to do quite a bit of hiking. When I was younger. Anybody here like hiking? Not really. Oh. No time. Oh. Yeah, I must say, these days it's more difficult. I'm hoping when children are a little bit older, we can do some more hikes. But I have a suspicion that for a couple of years still, we'll be carrying them. So maybe it'll have to be day hikes. So the kind of hike I used to do, you know, you used to pack your bag, your kind of rucksack, backpack, and fit in there as much as you possibly can, and then leave, and you come back about 5 days later. And the one specific one we did was, you know, and when you're young or younger, you're full of energy and full of optimism, and we really enjoyed ourselves, and we like to eat well as well. So that meant we want to pack enough food, you know? And then apparently research has shown that it's advised that if you pack your bag, it shouldn't weigh more than a third of your body weight. So that's a good tip for anybody that wants to go on a walk. But we obviously ignored that because we were young and healthy and fit and optimistic. So that specific one, there was no water, fresh water on the trail. This is in Africa, so that happens. So we had to carry water, which makes it a bit of a different game because it's heavy. The bonus is as you eat the food and as you drink the water, your pack becomes lighter. So that's a bargain. So we set off, and I remember that one, we weighed our packs, and I came in at about 31, 32 kilograms. And at that stage, it was more approaching half my body weight. I suppose now it's almost a third. No, I'm just joking. But at that stage, it was still nice and slim. So that was quite heavy. But we weren't fazed, you know, we set off, and I remember the first day we realized the trail hasn't been used often. But we weren't bothered, you know, we could one stage it, but the bits and pieces here, the trail kind of disappeared and you had to kind of find your own way. At one stage we were coming down a mountain, and because of the terrain and because the trail wasn't very clear, we were a group of four or five, and everybody just kind of found their way down the mountain. And at one stage I found myself in a very thick, the vegetation was quite dense, and there was a very thick kind of bush. Okay, now picture this. And as I'm kind of working my way through, I've got this massive pack on my back, and the one I was using was a military one, so it was quite wide. As I was kind of working my way through the undergrowth, it got thicker and thicker and thicker until a place where there were thorns as well, and I literally couldn't move at one stage. Now you thought this only happens in the movies, but no, I was stuck. As I was working my way through, I got more and more stuck. It wasn't funny at the time, but afterwards it was funny. But I remember standing there, and kind of obviously now you're tired already. Your backpack's too heavy, so now you've got this weight, and now you're stuck. And I remember having to take out a knife and having to cut myself loose, and then make my way down. So nothing really dramatic or anything, but this is the picture that the Lord gave me. He reminded me of that thing that happened. And I'm going to refer back to this picture, but literally to a place where I was firstly weighed down by too big a weight, and I got so entangled by the stuff I was going through that I couldn't move, and I had to stop and cut myself loose before I could continue. And basically, one of the best parts of a hike, and I'll tell you about that a bit later, but the next day, the trail became very clear, so that was cool. So we could see the trail. It went through beautiful forest, really stunning, stunning trail. And then it came out onto a grass field, a kind of very grassy patch, and the trail was very clear. The path led straight into a vertical, almost vertical rock face, which was odd. Right, but we weren't fazed because the two of us, my one friend, we did a lot of rock climbing at that stage. So we thought, that's not a problem, and we went up there, and we made it to the top. It's quite difficult to do rock climbing with. At that stage, obviously, packs were a little bit lighter, but it's quite difficult. And we managed to get to the top, but then the other guys were not so keen, so we had to go down again. That's even more difficult. But in any case, so later on we found out, when we got back to the start, or to the place, the kind of little management place, we found that there used to be a chain ladder there that you could climb up with, which makes sense, right? But it, since it being Africa, it was stolen. So the chain ladder was stolen, and then we couldn't, obviously, well, we didn't stop us. But in any case, so why did I tell you all this long story? Now, the picture God showed me is that we live in a fallen world, and we deal with the fallenness of the world around us every day. And that means we deal with and we face difficulties and we face challenges and we face the cares of the world, right? And I just had this very vivid picture of us making our way through life, and as if we very easily take on heavy burdens, and we take on things that we stress about, and we take on and we take you know, load up ourselves up with the cares of this world, and we kind of just no, you know, I'm going to make it. I'll do okay. And then it's as if because of all the things of the world, and I'm going to look at a few of those now. It's as if we become entangled to a place where we almost cannot move forward. So let's look at the scripture a little bit before we continue. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, 35-38. And we see Jesus here and how he looked at the multitudes. In verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So we see this picture, and I'll be honest with you, often when I go into the city or when I'm on public transport or when I'm in a big crowd of people, I think of this verse. Because you see a lot of people, and sometimes if it's on a weekend, maybe they don't look that bad, but on a weekday, often people are, I think of this, they look weary. And I get this, and I get the same impression that Christ said, "Wow, how do people go through life without a Savior, without a Redeemer? Where is every one of these? Where are they going to? What are their dreams? What are their hopes? What are the things that they are wrestling with?" But he saw this, and he was moved with compassion because of the cares of this world that were weighing these guys down. Let's have a look at another one here in Matthew 11, 28-30. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So it's clear that Christ recognizes the fact that often we are weary, we are heavy laden, we've got burdens that we carry, we've got cares that weigh us down, we've got a whole lot of things that are kind of working against us. And so I'm just going to look at a few of them, and I'm really trusting for some time at the end just for us to pray and really trust God to lay down some of them. Okay, one of the, I remember when you've done say a day of walking with a big pack like that with 30 kilos or something, you know what the best thing is about that? Is when you take it off. That's the best. There's just, even though you're tired, you suddenly feel like there's a spring in your step because now you're 30 kilos lighter. I don't know if anybody's lost that amount of weight. I hope not. Just joking. But yeah, I can just imagine because, you know, it just changes your life. And I remember even though you've just walked, say, what, maybe an old day, sometimes you cover 20Ks, sometimes some of the walks, well, the one we did was like a race, so you did 30Ks a day at very high speed because it's a race. And in that one, you had to have a minimum weight, so they had to carry at least this amount of weight. And you weren't allowed to run, so you had to. But in any case, but the best thing is when you lay down that pack at the end of the day and you go for a swim or you go and you just feel better. And I just feel there's a grace for us this morning to recognize some things that are weighing us down and to receive God's grace to lay them down and not to take them up again, because that's the thing about the hike, because the next morning you have to pick it up again. So that's when you eat a little bit more the evening, because you think, no, let me just get this thing lighter. And some of our friends are really crazy. They pack in 6 packs of Cokes and fresh meat. In hiker's terms, that's very silly because it weighs a lot. Okay, so you try to carry stuff that's dehydrated. Or do you know how dehydrated water works? You just add water. Yeah, it's very clever. In any case, sorry. Yeah, at least you're awake. Okay. Some of the things that I've seen, a lot of the stuff that entangles us as we make our way through life are fear-based. Okay, so you find that as we are enslaved to sin before we come to God, in the same way the enemy of our souls, the devil, tries to enslave us with fears and anxieties. And he tries to literally bind us and kind of incapacitate us. And that's the picture I had, that as we're making our way through these things, it gets worse and worse and worse, like that day for me, until we get to a place where we can't move. And we're so busy with, getting rid of the stuff that we're actually missing, like I did that day, I missed the trail. We're missing God's path for us. We're missing his purpose for us. And we're so busy wrestling our way through life that we're missing the good works that he's prepared for us. And we're missing the beauty of the day. And we're missing the amazing things that he's put all around us. And the relationships that he's blessed us with. And I can go on. But it's as if I saw that because we're so bogged down and we're so wrestling through these things, that we miss the beauty and the purpose that God has for us for that day. And if we look at this last scripture here, there are two things it talks about here. First, it talks about yokes and it talks about burdens. Okay. Now, a burden for me sounds to me like the backpack. It's heavy. It's not pleasant. But you can take it off if you want to. Right? That's the best thing about it. So burden is kind of, for me, it's not going very technical here, but something you can throw down, and I'm trusting this morning we'll throw some down. But a yoke is a different thing. Yoke, if you look at an oxen, a yoke of oxen, I once had to lead one of these. What is it? What do you call it? Is this right? A yoke of oxen? Is that two? Okay, I had to lead, I think there were like 12. Hey? I had to lead them once. It was a festival we had in South Africa. It's a little bit embarrassing now. I was just a boy. But they were pulling an ox wagon, and I think I must have been about 12, so in pairs of two, right? But the thing about a yoke is when you put an animal in a yoke, you make sure it can't get away, because it's no use that the animal can just decide to go where it wants to be. So it's tied into the thing, and it's tied to the other oxen so that they can work together as a team. So when we are yoked with things that are not of God, we are enslaved to that thing. Does it make sense? So it's not just something that you can, obviously when we're in Christ, we can throw it off, and that's what we want to do today. But we become enslaved to fears. We can become enslaved to the cares of this world to a point where they bind us down into going into a direction that is not of God. Does it make sense? We kind of get tied into going into a direction that God hasn't planned for us. Okay, now in each of our lives, these things look different, okay? So I want to read just for the Holy Spirit to convict you if there are some. Okay, so firstly, there are lots of fears, okay? Some of us have fears around finance, worry about debt, And debt is one of those crazy things. Most of us have it. But I've really seen how this can choke people, literally, to a point where they feel, yeah, they can't live because they're so anxious and they're so enslaved by this thing. So if you're young and you haven't got debt yet, keep it that way, okay? My wife and I, when we got married, we really trusted God that we would not have to go into debt. And I remember it was quite difficult a few times. We had to kind of really resist the temptation of, debt for various reasons. And actually, the Lord has really honored us in that way and honored that trust. And he's really, especially around cars and things, we've never had to go into debt to buy cars. In South Africa, it's almost a given. You can't normally don't pay cash for cars there. Although here, it's a bit different. But, so debt and financial stuff is one of those things. Fear of failure. Some people are struggling with fears of abandonment or rejection, whether it is toward people or toward God. A lot of stuff around fears, like I said, a lot of worries, a lot of anxieties. And a lot of the things that we worry about we worry about the unknown. We worry about what lies ahead, okay? The fear of, I don't know what is coming. I remember when I was in the Air Force, part of the officer's training course was right at the beginning. They took us out for 24 to 36 hours, and it was just crazy. Obviously, they tried to break us to a point where we mentally and physically in all different kind of ways. They tried to put a lot of pressure on you, and then in that situation, they gave you an opportunity to leave the course. So they really, really pushed you to see whether you really want to be there, if it makes sense. And I remember the worst thing was, because the physical part of it was run by these physical training instructors, and this is not the same as your personal trainer at the gym. Okay, these guys are sadistic. In any case, that's a very nice word. But so we went through various things, but every time they came, we could see their car coming in the dark. It was like, obviously, we went straight through the night. And then there was this fear that gripped the group, because what are they going to do to us now, type of thing, because we have to listen, But it was more fear of what is going to come. We don't know. We don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to make us run for 2 hours with full kit? Are they going to make us crawl through the icy water? Are they going to make us do push-ups until you drop? That was just... But obviously, nothing is going to kill you. So it was. But that's how it works, because you don't know. That's the worst thing. And that's obviously that's where our trust in God comes in. We don't know what lies ahead, but we trust in Him who does. We don't know what is lying to what comes tomorrow, but we trust in the one that does know. We don't in the one that that has written down every day of our lives in the book of life, and that has planned and purposed us before the foundation of the earth. So that's where our peace comes from. And you know what? We talk often in Scripture. Okay, we know the Ten Commandments. Okay. And there's often in Scripture that we see Jesus give instruction, and we see Jesus give direction, and often we take it as suggestions, okay? But we shouldn't. But one of the things that Scripture says, and Jesus says, is do not worry about tomorrow. Have you heard that one? Tomorrow, has got its own worries. But how seriously do we take that one? Do we feel that's an encouragement? Or is it a suggestion? I reckon you need to take that seriously. He says, don't do it. So I have a conviction that when we do find ourselves worrying, and for me, to be honest, it's basically a daily thing. I need to daily say, okay, Lord, I choose not to worry. I choose not to, because you tell me not to. And if I find myself stressing, I repent so that I can get rid of the stress and the anxiety and the worry. Okay, let's quickly look at the next scripture from Romans chapter 8. So it's a daily thing, right? A daily laying down, a daily choosing, daily choice that we make not to worry. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Paul writes to the Romans, says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And you see these two extremes here. We see the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. And that's kind of the thing I was talking about, being enslaved to fear, being enslaved to kind of the stuff, you know, before we come to Christ, it's sin and death. But later on, it's still as if we get entangled and we get enslaved to fear, as if we don't proactively throw them off. And then on the other hand, he says, "You don't have. I've not given you that spirit again of fear. I don't want you to be in bondage to fear. I want you to be living as a son and a daughter of God." This spirit of adoption doesn't mean you suddenly have an urge to adopt a child. Okay, it's not that. If you were wondering, it means that rite of adoption it refers to there is the one of becoming an adult. Of coming of age. And it also speaks of your place in the house of God. In other words, your identity in Christ, your identity as a son or daughter of God, and the fact that we are co-heirs with Christ. When we come to Him, we have receive a new identity, we receive affirmation from Him, and we are no longer slaves or servants even in the house of God. We are sons and daughters. And the difference there is you and I can now are heirs. We have an inheritance. A son or a daughter in a house doesn't have to labor or slave for their food. Abigail, she doesn't have to, my two-year-old daughter, she doesn't have to work for her supper. Not yet. No. David, maybe one day you'll have to help me mow the lawn. And there will be responsibilities, because there will be partnership, because it's their home as well. But they don't have to do anything for the food, because it's theirs. Everything that's mine is theirs. Are you with me? In the same way, God has prepared that place for us. A place of ownership, a place of partnership with Him, a place of an inheritance that we don't have to work for or stress about or strive for, but it is ours in Him. Are you with me? That's good news. Eh? All right, so he says, he makes a clear distinction, no longer enslaved to fear, bondage to fear, but a spirit of adoption, a spirit of sonship, a place of taking that ownership and taking that place in His house. Now, one of the things that it also tends to enslave us is, it's interesting, it's when blessings from God become more important than God in our lives. Now, does that, for a moment, that might not make sense, but we need to really guard our hearts that the blessing does not become more important. It doesn't take more of a central place in our lives than the blessor, the giver of the blessing. And as sometimes happens with children, people struggle to have children, and then they get blessed. God blesses them with children, and they're so obsessed with their children that God takes second or third place. And for each of us, again, it can be different things. You know, often it can be your intellect. Some of us, you know, got blessed with very, very, you know, we're very intellectual, we're very clever, and we, you know, you that become. But what can happen, what we need to guard against, is putting that and exalting that in our life above God and above His Word. Even the, you know, job or a career, there are many things that God blesses us with, and we have to be careful that we don't exalt those things then above God in our lives, because that again enslaves us. And when we get so stuck into that rut, that we get entangled in the blessing, if that makes sense, which sounds odd, but it happens. There's another one we have to be careful about. Okay, so what I'm trusting for this morning is that if we can really, that the Lord would really show us if there are things that entangle us and weigh us down. Okay, let's quickly have to not take, you know. Okay, I'm going to quickly read Isaiah 61:1-4. And it basically just I'm reading this to just illustrate how the provision that God has made for us is for any circumstance and for every eventuality. Whatever it is that wants to entangle you, whatever it is that you're facing or working through or wrestling through, God has anointed Christ and then also anointed us to receive his deliverance from those things. I mean, let's read quickly from verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Powerful picture of the restoration and the healing and the building up of what was ruined in the past that God wants to do in our lives, but also through our lives. Okay, so whatever you're wrestling with, whatever you feel you're weighing you down, or whatever, even things of your past that you feel have had an impact on where you are now, know that he has made provision through Christ for that specific thing, whatever it may be. And then I want to quickly look again at Romans 8, verse 15, because it continues after that verse that we'd read in a moment ago. So let's quickly look at the rest of the little bit of comes be after that. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Now I want to just focus on this last bit there. So it speaks not only of that we have received a spirit of adoption, but there it speaks of purpose and it speaks of glory that will be revealed in us. And then it says a very interesting thing. It speaks of the expectation of creation that waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And it speaks of, in another part, it speaks of the whole of creation groaning in expectation for the revelation of the sons of God. And that means that we are, as we follow Christ, as we walk in the good works that he has prepared for us, as we seek him in all our lives, his glory is revealed more and more through us. That's what it talks about, the revelation of the sons of God. And obviously that includes the daughters as well, okay? So it speaks of that, of the glory of God revealed through our lives. And it speaks of the expectation of all of the of creation that waits for that. Because that's in what the redemption of the world lies in, is in the sons and daughters of God, okay? Because of the blood of Christ, because of his provision through us. And the picture I had was that if we get entangled in the stuff of the world, if we get entangled to a place where we all get incapacitated, this is never going to happen. You can forget about the revelation of the sons of God because we're so busy with cutting ourselves loose, trying to survive, trying to make it through the day, heavy laden, trying to cut ourselves loose, that we're missing God's purpose. We're missing his path. We're missing his destiny for us that day. And we're definitely not being, he's definitely not being glorified in us. Are you with me? I'm not saying it's going to be plain sailing. Obviously, there will be testing times and obviously there will be difficult trials and there will be tribulations. Yes. But those are for to actually us to grow in our faith and us to learn to trust him and us to learn to build in that relationship, but not to get entangled in them. Are you with me? Okay, I need to finish. So, what do we do? Okay, firstly, like I said, we recognize that I shouldn't be carrying this thing. Okay, I shouldn't be enslaved to this thing. I shouldn't be weighed down with this thing. So the first thing we need to do is repent. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 3. Sometimes we think of repentance as a negative thing. It's not. Okay, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So I want to really encourage us, whatever God lays on our hearts, whatever we're convicted of, whatever we find, you know, we need to repent of, and repentance speaks of changing the way we think about something, rethinking, changing the way we think, and then obviously changing the way we do as well. So but the powerful picture here is, repentance is not a heavy thing. Repentance enables us to come into a place of receiving refreshing, having that times of refreshing in the presence of God. Isn't that a beautiful picture? So when you still got that pack on your back, it's difficult to be refreshed. But when you throw that thing down and you have a drink and you come into the presence of God, if you think about it like that, you can really be refreshed. Amen? So I really encourage you, don't think of repentance as a negative thing, but take every opportunity to come before God. I say, Lord, I repent of this thing. I recognize this in my life, and I need to be refreshed. I want to throw this down. I want to cast, you know, off this burden and this yoke, so that I can experience that refreshing in your presence, that nourishment, that revitalizing place in his presence. And then finally, 1 Peter 5:6-8, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So this process of coming to God and recognizing there are things in our lives that entangle us, recognizing there are things we need to repent of, recognizing there are yokes we need to get rid of, it's humbling. Okay, I want to just encourage you this morning. Pride is one of the things that entangles us as well. Okay, and I've found that when Scripture says God gives grace to the humble, it's true, and he resists the proud. That's also true. Okay. So for you and I to really receive his grace, we need to humble ourselves. I mean, and we need to come before God. So, Lord, I recognize I've been worrying about things. I've been stressing. I've been taking, you know, I've been just allowing anxiety to come and overtake me. And I want to repent of that. And I want to receive your refreshing. And I want to trust that you will exalt me in due time. And then it says, casting your care upon him. And that's what I'm trusting for us this morning to do. I remember a while ago, you might have heard the story, but when I was saving up for our honeymoon, actually. This is we've been married almost 7 years, not very long, but it's going well. What a blessing. Can recommend it. but I remember us coming back from a mission trip that year, and we about 6 months before we got married, we went to India on a mission trip. And to be honest with you, after buying a ring earlier that year and going on a mission trip, I had nothing left, like zero in my bank balance. Okay, I'm not exaggerating. But I came back from a mission, and you know how it works on mission trips. God does miracles, people get healed and delivered and saved, and which is great. I'm full of faith, and I just say, yes, praise God, he will provide. And I booked the most amazing honeymoon that you can think of, with no money, okay? And I thought, no, I've got a couple of months to save, you know, and trust God. But I didn't realize, obviously, with those kind of things, they need a substantial part of the funds quite early in the process. So quite a few months though before we got married, they'd like saying, okay, we need this. So I'm like, oh dear. Any case, so I was really weighed down. I really started to stress, and it was really quite bad, actually. I don't think I've stressed like that again. And I remember sitting down with a friend, and I said to him, listen, this is the situation. I'm in trouble here. I'm going to It's not like they're going to lock me up or anything. It's just quite embarrassing, you know. And I know this is my plan A. I don't have a plan B. And he just said to me, listen, don't go into the flesh on something that you started in faith. If you started something, if you were operating in faith and you're trusting God, don't go back on that. And it was really encouraging, and we prayed together, and I had to choose to do what it says here, to choose to take that care, those cares, and cast them upon him because he cares for us. And it was really miraculous, because I remember a weight lifting from me, and from that day, God, just the funds came in the most ridiculous ways that you can imagine. I mean, like anonymous amounts from anonymous people paid into my bank balance. Nobody... You know, it's not like I was telling everybody about it. Random people, one guy I met for the third time, and he just said, yeah, I really feels that God wants him to bless me. So he wrote out a check for me right there. He says, no, this is for your honeymoon. Really random things. And somehow, it just all came together. But I remember that shift that happened when I just chose to say, okay, God, I trust you. I'm going to cast this thing off. I mean, please stand with me this morning. We're going to pray together. So firstly, I just want to quickly refer back to, before we pray, I want to refer back to scripture here. In Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And then this is the most important part. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I just felt that this morning it's so important for us to firstly come to a place where we humble ourselves. Come to a place where we can repent if we've got worrying, if we're stressing about things. But then, once we've cast off and we've thrown down the burdens, we've gotten rid of the yokes that are not of God, that we recognize that for us to be revealed as the sons and daughters of God, we need to take on his yoke. And it's so powerful here because he says, those that are you weary, the solution for that is not for you to have no yoke or no burden, but you must have the right one. You won't need my one, my yoke, Jesus says. Come, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And then he says, and you will find rest for your souls. And I just feel if you need rest for your soul, then you need to approach God this morning. And then he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I really trust that we will not miss God's purpose and plan, but that we will literally take his yoke upon us and walk in his the good works that he's prepared for us in every day, that he may be glorified in us. That we might find rest for our souls, that we might find refreshing in his presence, that we might find fulfillment in what he has prepared for us. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we, although we've come from a place, Lord, we come from a place where we have been enslaved to sin and death. We were operating under the law of sin and death, Lord, that you've sent your only Son, God, and that Jesus, you died on the cross and paid our penalty, paid up the price so that we can be freed from that slavery to sin and death, and that we can now live under the law of life in Christ, Lord. That you bring us from darkness into your marvelous light. And as every eye is closed this morning, if you know that you have not yet come to a place where you have received that price, you have received that gift of salvation that God has paid for on the cross with the blood of his Son, the place where he paid for your sin, where he paid for your past so that you can have a relationship with him. If you have not yet stepped into that relationship and you have not yet accepted that gift of salvation and you have not yet found a place of rest and found a place of peace with God, then this morning there's an opportunity for you to take his hand, as it were, and to receive his grace and to step into life, into His light. And while every eye is closed this morning, if that's you this morning and you know that you need to make your peace with God, you need to make right with Him this morning, then I would like to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? If while every eye is closed, if you could just raise your hand, then I'd like to pray with you. I just feel there's an invitation that the Father wants to extend to you this morning. So I love you. No matter where you come from, no matter what's in your past, I've made provision for that. Maybe there's a turmoil in your heart this morning and you think, but how can that be? How can God love me if He knows what's going on in my past? How can He love me? How can He accept me with all these things that have happened and all these things that I've done? The scripture says that come to me as a weary and heavy laden. Come to me as you are. God loves us so much that He receives us in our broken state, in our state of brokenness, and in our state of sinfulness. He receives us just like that. But He loves us so much that He won't leave us there. That's why He's got deliverance for us, He's got healing for us, and He's got restoration. But first we need to come to Him. If there's anybody like that this morning, there's a bit of a war and a bit of a wrestle going on in your heart, that this morning I just feel God is extending His hand of love and grace and acceptance to you. If there's anybody who wants to reach out to Him this morning and accept that gift, if you could just raise your hand now, I'd like to pray with you. Okay. Father, secondly, Lord, we thank You for Your provision through the cross. We thank You that we can, as we receive Your word, Father, that we can humble ourselves before You. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that You convict every heart now. Convict, Lord, of anxieties and fears, convict of burdens that we are carrying, convict of stress and worry, convict us of things that we are entangled with, some being entangled in the things that were meant to be blessings, God. And if that's you this morning, I'm not going to call anybody forward, but I want you just to take a moment. And if Holy Spirit has convicted you of something specific, I'd like you just to where you are, just to come in repentance before God so that you might receive and experience a time of refreshing this morning. So bring that thing before the Lord and in repentance. Bring your heart before Him. Repent if you need to, like I had to. I have to regularly, and receive His grace. And receive, humble yourself and receive His grace this morning. In Jesus' name. I'll just give you a moment. God, this morning as we repent, we thank You that You've already washed us clean. We've already received Your grace. We've already received the fullness of the cross, God. And this morning we thank You for a refreshing as we choose to cast down burdens. We choose to cast down the weights of the heaviness of fear and of anxiety, of stress, Lord, to tear loose the things that entangle us, God. Thank You right now in the name of Jesus that Your anointing destroys every yoke. Anointing of the Spirit in this place destroys every yoke of bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank You that Your word says Your perfect love casts out fear. And I just command right now the perfect love of God that has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit right now. It casts out every fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I just command fear to leave this place now in the name of Jesus. Every fear, every anxiety, every thing that has been enslaving us, we cast it down, we cut it off in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now, Lord, for a lifting up of weights, a lifting up of heaviness. Thank you, God, that you give us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We look to you, for it's for freedom that Christ has set us free in Jesus' name. And there's liberty when we draw near to you, Father. Right now, I just sense, Lord, that you're walking the aisles now. You're lifting off the burdens. And right now, we choose to cast them off in the name of Jesus. Stuff that has entangled us, Lord, we throw them aside in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for freedom. We thank you for lightness now in the name of Jesus. I just see right now that, yes, God, it's as if you, some of us are struggling, but you're helping us to lift those yokes off our shoulders. Throw them off in Jesus' name. Lay down. We cast our cares upon you, Lord, and we confess. We know you care for us. We know we can trust you. We know we don't have to be afraid of tomorrow because you are with us, Lord. The only thing that's constant is you in our lives, God. So we don't have to stress. We don't have to worry. We choose this morning. We will not worry. But we trust in you, Father. We celebrate your faithfulness, Lord. Your word says that we feed. We are satisfied, Lord. We are nourished by your faithfulness, God. Your goodness toward us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for times of refreshing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for revitalizing, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for joy bubbling up, Lord. Joy and songs of praise and thanksgiving, God, in Jesus' name. And right now, Lord, we choose to take up your yoke for our lives, God. We take up your burden that is light, your yoke that is easy. Right now, Lord, we choose again to say, God, we don't want to miss what you prepared for us now, today, and tomorrow, Lord, and every day. We don't want to miss the path. We don't want to get entangled, God. We want to run with what you have for us every day, every good work. We thank you, Father. We can daily choose, Lord, today I take up your yoke and your burden. Today, God, I run with your purpose and your plan for my life. I don't want to miss one bit of it, Lord. I grab a hold of it, Lord. I seize it, and I will not miss it, God, by your grace. Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for a partnership with you. I thank you that we can learn from you. Thank you that we find rest for our souls, God, as we partner with you. I thank you for the joy and the excitement and the celebration of running with you, of this adventure that you call us on with you, Father, that you call us to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that your name be glorified in us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the sons of God and daughters of God to be revealed, God, and gloriously being, and even this week, that your name be glorified in our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Amen. 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 If you feel you need to respond specifically something, if there's sometimes these things become a cycle in our lives, okay? So it's not something that you stress the one day and then the next day you just throw it down. Sometimes it becomes a cycle. It repeats itself. Similar pattern. And there's a grace for us this morning to break those cycles. Amen. So if you have something like that, or you feel there's a specific burden that you've been taking up regularly, or something that God has showed you this morning, please take boldness and come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. I don't have a solution, but Jesus has already made a way for you. Okay? God wants to lift that thing off your back. If you don't want to come to the front, just ask somebody to pray with you where you're sitting. But if you have something, whatever your need is, if you have a prayer need, don't leave with that same need. Okay? God still heals today. Other day, my two-year-old prayed with me, as we do every night, and I had to put a hand on me, and I explained to her that we pray, and we prayed together. I don't know what I had a flu, cold, and praise God, he healed me. so he doesn't change his mind about that. Okay, so whatever your need is, please don't leave unless you've prayed with somebody. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Throw off the burdens daily. Choose to walk in freedom, and let the glory of God be revealed in us. Amen. Bless you. Thanks.